don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to take care of it. But again, Jesus Christ came for this very reason. The same thing applies when we look around our world. You know, in our society today, we can look around and we can see what's broken, see that it needs to be fixed, but maybe don't have the resources ourselves to take care of that. But again, we know the one who does. God has the resources to fix what we need fixed. I found this little quote here, and I wanted to present it to you this morning, talking about our greatest need. What is our greatest need? It says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a redeemer. Mankind too often looks at what he thinks he needs instead of what he really needs. I'm so glad that God knew what we really needed and provided for that need. You know, all too often we try to fix the world's problems with the wrong tools. You know, there's nothing wrong with information and technology and money and pleasure if it's used in the right way. They're just the wrong tool to fix the problem. It's like trying to fix a tractor with a chainsaw or a circular saw. Just not the right tool for the job. What we need as mankind is a redeemer, and God provided that for us. You know, since the Garden of Eden, man has tried to fix his problem on his own. And from that time on, God has promised the Redeemer. God has promised that the Savior would come. Today we get to celebrate the fact the Savior has come. And the Savior has completed his redeeming work. God sent us a Redeemer to save us from our problem of sin. And we're going to look at three characteristics today of Jesus as our Redeemer, who he is as our Redeemer. And remember this child that we celebrate, the birth of Christ. Jesus came with a purpose. He came with a meaning. He came with an intent. Yes, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he is also our Redeemer, the one who purchased us by his own sacrifice, his own blood. Let's turn in Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read one verse here. That's verse 18, and it says, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we can gather in your name today. And as your word goes forth, may you reach deep into our hearts, into our minds, and into who we are. And strengthen us and guide us. And equip us for the moments ahead, the days ahead. To stand for you, to be all that you would have us to be. To bring honor and glory to your holy name. And that you would guide us in all truth through your word. That your spirit might dwell in us and lead us in all truth. That you might be highly exalted by your people and here in this place. And we praise you and we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at this passage, it talks about how Jesus came, why he came. And in that, we find then that Jesus is our pure Redeemer. We need a Redeemer, but he's not just a Redeemer. He is the only one that could be our Redeemer because of his purity. The Bible says he is pure. He was pure at his birth. We find that here. The birth was on this wise, that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost, the child of God. What we have here is the doctrine of the virgin birth. But there's been a great attack on the virgin birth, mostly because man cannot explain it. So it cannot happen if we cannot explain it. But God is way beyond all of that. God had a plan, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, before he created the world, he already had this plan in motion. And there's been an attack on the virgin birth because Satan wants to discredit Jesus as Emmanuel, that God actually came. And we find that in both Matthew and Luke when Satan is tempting Jesus and he asks him this question. If thou be the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God. But we see again Satan questioning, causing that questioning, that what if you say you are, then do what I say. But God, and we see in the temptations of Christ that he surpassed Satan's answers, and obviously would, because God is so much greater than Satan could ever be. So we see then that when we look at the doctrine of the virgin birth, there is an attack on that. It's not possible. It couldn't have happened. And yet it did. It happened one time with one special child. And that child, we celebrate this season. That birth, we celebrate this season. So what is the reason then for the virgin birth? What is the purpose? Why did God do it that way? He did it to provide a pure Redeemer. We needed a pure Redeemer. We didn't need someone who had sin in their life. They could not be a pure Redeemer. The Bible talks about the Lamb without spot and blemish. It had to be a perfect Lamb. And mankind could not do that. Only God could do that. And he did so through Christ. Fully God, fully man. We see that sin entered into mankind through Adam. And because of that, sin is passed upon all because of Adam. In Romans 12 or 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So all mankind that has come through Adam is guilty of sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, the Bible says, for as in Adam, all die. That's because of that sin. But we find that Jesus was pure at his birth because his father was not Joseph, but God. He had a different father. In fact, the Bible describes him as the second Adam. When we look at mankind, the Bible describes the first Adam is the one who brought sin into the world. The second Adam is the one who provided redemption from that sin, paid the price for that sin. And that second Adam that it's talking about in the Bible is Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God. So we find then also that the virgin birth was prophesied. It was foretold that it would happen by Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, wherefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Again, something that did not happen in that day and age, did not happen today, but it did happen. It was foretold by the prophet of God how it would happen. A virgin shall conceive, that it would be a son, and what his name would be called. God with us is what Emmanuel means. We see that the virgin birth was explained to Mary and to Joseph. Joseph's revealing is recorded in Matthew, and Mary's is recorded in Luke. How that God told both of them what was going on, what was happening, what to do. Again, because these kind of things don't just happen every day. This was a special event, a special time, with a special purpose. God became man and dwelt among us. God himself took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, to redeem us, to redeem all who would believe in him from their sin. Jesus is our pure Redeemer. So Jesus was pure at his birth. Unlike all others that come from Adam. But Jesus also lived a pure life. This is the next part that's difficult, because none of us can say that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." God made Jesus to be sin for us. In other words, he took mankind's sin upon him, who did not know sin, had never sinned against God. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Again, we have the proclamation of God's word here in both these places that Jesus Christ was without sin. He had to be without sin, or he could not have been our Savior. He had to be without sin. He could not redeem us. So he was pure. He had to live a pure life. Jesus was also pure at his death, at his birth, all through his life, and at his death. It took perfection. And he is the only one that could have done that. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It took a perfect sacrifice to cover man's sin, to make the payment for man's sin. God set all of this in motion, and God provided for mankind this very thing. But it is Jesus Christ himself who fulfilled it. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." God required the best to be offered to him. And God provided the best in Christ Jesus. So we find that Jesus is our pure Redeemer from birth to death without sin. Perfect. He is the only one who could be, the only one who ever was or ever will be, because God himself provided himself a lamb. The second point is that Jesus is our public Redeemer. What he did out in the open. His coming was announced As I read already in Isaiah, it was foretold how he would come. But he was announced by many of the prophets. We see that he was announced by angels. He was announced by shepherds. He was announced by a star and wise men. Many proclaimed his coming. We find that his coming was a public event. Let's again look in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What an announcement. We think, wow, the whole world should have heard. Everybody should have known at least right there. And it's amazing how much announcement goes out about the birth of Jesus Christ and how many times it falls on deaf ears. How many times it falls, well, that's not really what's going on. These guys are crazy. They're just shepherds. They don't know what they're talking about. They, you know, imagining things. And our world is like that. People are like that even today. It's not possible. But you know what? It happened. And it is possible. Jesus is a public redeemer. What his coming announced was a public event. We find also that Joseph made a public decision to follow the Lord's command. Again, back in Matthew, in chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We see that both of these, I mean, many of them looked at Jesus as being an illegitimate child because he was born of Mary, and she was found with child before. But you know what? All of that was God's work. God's plan. Because the child that was born was not Joseph's. Yet Joseph was given the instruction of how and what to do, what to name him. And Joseph followed through with that. Did it rearrange his life? Absolutely. It did. It changed his life. Jesus will change your life when you trust him. So Jesus' birth, his revealing, his death, and his resurrection were all public. They were all known. His birth reminds us of his origin, where he came from. When we think about this virgin-born child, He's not of man, and yet he became a man. He's of God, and yet was born as a man. So his birth reminds us of where he came from. Jesus made the very statement, I am not of this world. And yet he called himself the Son of Man to show his complete humanity. His revealing reminds us of who we are and who he is. Reminds us of who we are and who he is. He is without sin. We are the ones in need of a Savior. His death reminds us of why he came. He came with the intent of paying our sin debt. Is he done? No, he's not done. As you remember what I read last week about him being King of Kings, he still has a kingdom that's going to be set up. He's not done yet. But he came first to redeem mankind, and he's given us that salvation. He's given us that redemption as a free gift to all who would believe. And to all who do believe are saved. There will come a day when he returns as King of Kings, as the Bible teaches, as he has promised. But in the meantime, we remember his death. And he says, and that's part of our service and our worship to him. He says, this do in remembrance of me, taking the bread and the cup and remembering what it means, remembering his death until he comes. And his resurrection. His resurrection reminds us of his power over death and eternal life. We celebrate his resurrection in the spring around Passover, and we think about what it means to have a risen Savior. But he first had to be a virgin-born child before he could become the risen Savior. And he is all of those things. So his resurrection reminds us of that power over death, but it also reminds us of his eternal life that he has promised to all who believe. So Jesus is our public redeemer. What he did not do in secret, but he did out in the open. He was openly displayed on the cross. He was born in a manger of all places. Openly lived his life among those who should have acknowledged him and much of the world who did not have a clue who he was. He is our public redeemer. And we find that Jesus is our perfect redeemer as well. God requires perfection. Again, back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Again, we have the announcement here that he would come, that Mary would bring forth a son, and that Joseph was to name him Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. When the angel told Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins, he said three things in that phrase. He acknowledged first the sinfulness of people. He shall save his people from their sins. Mankind first must realize that they need salvation. They need to be saved from their sin. We've been given the Ten Commandments and the law to show the fact that all are sinners. The Bible says if you have broken one, you're guilty of all. Therefore, like I read earlier, all have sinned. All are guilty. So he acknowledged the sinfulness of people. And again, in Romans 3:23, reminds us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark. 1 John 1 and verse 10 reminds us, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That verse proclaims that all who say they have not sinned are calling God a liar. Because God has proclaimed that all have sinned. So first we see the acknowledgement of the sinfulness of people. Why do we need a Savior? For this very reason. Then we see that he proclaimed Jesus' possession of people. He says that he shall save his people. Jesus would save his people, his own people. I want to read to you over in John. If you have your Bibles, turn there. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 22, down through 30. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, this is a repeat, in other words. He's told them this before. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus made it as plain as he could make it right there. They said, tell us plainly if you are the Christ. He told them plainly. Absolutely. I and my Father are one. But you know what? They didn't like that. The Jews didn't want to hear that. Because he made himself equal with God in doing so. Well, it's interesting because Christ means the anointed of God. And they asked him, if you're the anointed of God, then tell us. And he told them, and yet they would not accept it. You know, this very thing is what causes us to be redeemed or not be redeemed. It's not because Jesus hasn't done it and provided for everyone. It's because we choose not to. Just because these were Jews did not mean they were his children. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Many believed, and many did not. Today, many believe, and many do not. It is the same thing. But Jesus proclaimed possession. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. There is a result of hearing the voice of the shepherd and responding to him. But he also says, I give unto them eternal life. He's not talking about sheep. He's talking about mankind. He's talking about the children of God. He's talking about the ability to become a son, a child of God, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. He says, I give unto them eternal life. And he says, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. It's secure. When we truly believe, that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus has taken away our personal sin, that He is our Redeemer, that He has indwelled us with His Holy Spirit, and He has protected us and sealed us and secured us for eternity, then we are secure. If we doubt, if we question, if we deny, then we're not secure. Just like the Jews ask Him here, tell us plainly. You know what? Today He has told us plainly in His Word. He has told us exactly who He is. But we are given the choice, the opportunity to choose. Am I going to accept that or am I not going to accept that? Am I going to believe what the Bible is telling me? Or is it just an old book? Is God's prophecy real or is it just a bunch of crazy guys writing about the future? Is it real? Is God real? I want to challenge you. If you don't think God is real, ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Because God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know who He is. And He makes that personal through Jesus Christ. He became a man so that we could know Him. We could understand Him. And He provides for all of our needs through that person of Jesus. So we find that this announcement that the angel gave to Joseph acknowledged the sinfulness of people, proclaimed Jesus' possession of people, but he also announces Jesus' salvation of people. The salvation of people. When he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What else can save mankind from sin? Who else can save mankind from sin? Absolutely no one except Jesus Christ. There's not a religion. There's not another person. The only way is through Jesus Christ. And that way, you can't purchase. You can't buy. You can't work your way. It's a free gift given to mankind from God. It's provided for all. What it does require is faith. It requires trusting Him, believing what His Word says. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus is the name above all names that it talks about in Revelation. His name is above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and in earth and under the earth, that all will bow to this name of Jesus. We must understand Jesus this child that we're talking about, born in a manger, is our Savior. Why do we celebrate? Because God has given man the greatest gift that he will ever receive in Jesus Christ. Jesus is born, this child of a virgin. He is our Savior. This virgin-born one. And Jesus is born to redeem sinful mankind. It is Him that is our Savior. This child that we celebrate, the birth of this child that we celebrate, is Jesus Christ. Born many years ago, but still alive today. God Almighty, as He is proclaimed in Isaiah, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Savior, Redeemer. There are so many titles and names given to Jesus because of the work that He has done the prophecies that he has fulfilled, and the things that are yet to be done. There is none other name under heaven given among men, the Bible says, whereby we must be saved. There's no one else. So who is Jesus to you? We hear the name Jesus out there and it gets slung around a lot. But who is Jesus to you? Is he just someone you have tacked onto your life with no real commitment or change? Who is he? Is he just this religious person? Is he just a decoration in the manger scene? It's not until he becomes your Redeemer or your Savior that it becomes personal. Because he redeems us as individuals from our sin. That redemption means he paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. Is he your Savior? And remember that as the sinless Son of God, he is the only one who can be your Savior. This season, thank him. When you see that manger scene, thank him for what he has done for you. Remember your need of a Savior and the one who has provided that need. Redemption, took care of it, paid the price. That little child took care of you. That little child took care of Mary. That little child took care of Joseph. That little child took care of the shepherds. That little child took care of Peter and James and John and the early church. That little child has taken care of all who look forward to his coming and all who were around his coming. And all who have been since his coming. His sacrifice was perfect. Accepted by God. This child is man's Savior. His name, Jesus Christ. Emmanuel. God with us. Do you know him today? Have you trusted him today? Have you allowed him to redeem you personally from your sin? If not, do so today. Ask him to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to take those sins away. Permanently, forever. He's the only one who can. Let him cleanse you as only he can do. And then let him live fully within you for all eternity. I'll guarantee you, you'll have a different outlook on life. You'll see things differently for the first time. You'll see who he really is because he wants to know you and he wants you to know him. Accept Jesus Christ today. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, thank you once again for this privilege that we have of celebrating the coming of our Redeemer. As we look back at that coming, we thank you, Lord, that you have already finished that for us and provided all that we need. And Lord, help us to worship and praise you and lift your name on high. For you indeed are worthy. But Lord, let us not forget. Let us not get so tangled up in the affairs of this life that we forget who you are. That we forget the true reason for this celebration of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much before you even made us, before you made the planet, that you provided salvation through Jesus Christ. For a people who would need it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much. And work in our hearts right now, Lord, as only you can do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.